the Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah 41, verses 8 through 10. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corner, saying to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. The New Testament lesson is from Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is the word of God, and it is true. Remain standing for our next hymn. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. It's in the red hymnal on 133 and on the screens.
Read some of my favorite scripture and sung one of my favorites this morning. A mighty fortress is our God is a great hymn written by Martin Luther. And there's a word in there that you may not know. I didn't know it until I went to seminary. He talks about Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. Lord Sabaoth is, and I love Eugene Peterson's translation of that in the Message. It's the Lord God Almighty. Or the God of angel armies. It's the Lord, it's the one who rules and reigns. And so he's just taken that, Yahweh Sabaoth, and he hasn't translated it. And so he's the Lord God who reigns, which is very reminiscent of as we've been going through the book of Revelation, and just who is this one? Who is Jesus? And the throne in Revelation 4, that he rules and he reigns. And this one who is the Ancient of Days, this Holy One. And that's great theology, and it's lofty. And for the next couple weeks, we're going to, maybe a little bit longer, we're going to be in the Psalms. Because I think all of us, if we're honest, we've struggled with prayer at some time in our life. And I love the book of Psalms because it gives voice to often what we feel. And we don't, you know, good theology is great, but April, what does it mean for our lives? And so the Psalms, even though, and you read the Psalms, you might be a little bit shocked because there's a lot of anger in the book of Psalms. There are people that are angry. There are people that are sad. There are people that are depressed. But when I read them, it gives voice to what we feel. And so we're going to look at, again, it's one of my favorite Psalms. It's Psalm 121. And like Revelation 4, the one who sits on the throne, like Revelation 5, the Lamb who stands and who rules and he reigns, Psalm 121 starts with this theological, lofty statement, but then he makes practical implications on what that means. Because as we journey through this life, we get afraid, don't we? We get anxious. There are things that happen that are like, I don't understand, and I'm feeling afraid about this, and the world seems out of control, and Lord, I feel kind of like you've fallen asleep. Where are you at? And this psalm really addresses that. I used to be very anxious when I traveled, especially when I flew. I started seminary in the fall of 2011, just north of Boston, and was out there a week when 9/11 happened. And so was out there with people who literally had lost loved ones that had died in the tower that fell. And so it made New York and all that very real. It always seemed far away. And so through that, I just developed, you know, kind of an anxiety for flying because it was too far to drive. And so I really struggled in that season with anxiety and fear in traveling. And I started reading this psalm, and this psalm is a traveling psalm. They would sing this psalm when they would go up to visit Jerusalem. And the problems, cars and airplanes, that wasn't a thing for them back then. But traveling in the ancient Near East was very, very scary. You had bandits and different things that could happen. And so this, and then our journey of life, you know, it's like a journey. And so while some of us may have anxiety issues when we travel, some of us at times may struggle with anxiety and fear as we journey through life. So how do we deal with that? What are some things we can stand on? So we're going to look at Psalm 121 this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord Martin Luther, though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for you have willed your truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. We thank you for Jesus, Lord, who has triumphed. We thank you, Lord, for the book of Psalms that were written by very real people with very real emotions who were anxious and were afraid. And Lord, I thank you that as we journey through life and we look around and it seems like things are out of control, Lord, we can look to you. So Holy One, I pray that you would anoint your word. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come and teach. In my weakness, be strong. Anoint me to preach today. Anoint me to exhort today. And Lord, anoint all of us to hear what you have to say. Come, encourage your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear the word of the Lord, Psalm 121. There's a word that's repeated 6 times in here. Some of your translations use a different word. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but I'm going to read one that doesn't. It uses the same one, and I want to see if you can pick up on a word that's repeated here 6 different times. Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So as the psalmist is journeying and he's leading people up to Israel to worship at the temple in Jerusalem, he says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Has anybody here ever traveled to Jerusalem? Have you ever had the opportunity to go? You have? Anybody else? What happens as you get close to Jerusalem? As you start getting close to Jerusalem, there are a lot of hills, aren't there? There's a lot of hills. And so here in this part of the state, you know, as we go up a little bit north, we don't know anything about hills. But if you go south just a little bit, we start seeing beautiful hills. And the psalmist just looks around. He looks at creation. And he says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? The last time I preached, I talked about prayer. And I talked about sometimes the best prayer you can pray is help, help, help. That's the essence of prayer. It's just knowing that you need help and we can't fix it. We can't do it. We can't fix the world. We can't fix our family. We can't fix some of the things that happen. We need help. And so the psalmist says, I lift my eyes up. I look around. I look at creation. I look at the beauty that I see. I lift up my eyes. Where does my help come from? And he answers his own question. He says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It's a beautiful statement. It's a lofty theological statement. And it's a little bit like Revelation 4, sits on the throne. Revelation 5, the Lamb stands. That's great truth, but all right, my life is out of control. What does that practically mean for me? How can I make this real in my life? I feel forsaken. I feel alone. Where does my help come from? Sometimes, and I love David in the book of Psalms, because there's several psalms. So I think Psalm 103 is I'm one of them, but there are several where David says, praise the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, praise his holy name. And he's telling himself just to praise, because sometimes we need to preach to ourselves. We need to encourage ourselves, and David does that. And sometimes we just need to confess. My help comes from the Lord. I look around at the trees. I look around. Lord, you're the creator. You are faithful and true. My help comes from you. But let's unravel that, this lofty theological statement. But what does that practically mean, and how can we appropriate that for our lives? The word that's repeated six times in these verses. Did you hear it when I read it? It's the one who keeps you. Verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Does anybody else have in their Bible, does anybody else have a translation for that word that's not keeps you? He who keeps you? Anybody else have something different? Some of your translations say guard. He who guards you. That's a good translation for that. But then we have it again in verse 4. Behold, he who keeps you. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Verse 7, he will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. It's the Hebrew word, and it's a beautiful poem. When you read that in Hebrew, there's a beautiful repetition there. And one of the hardest things to translate in any language is poetry. And there's a rhythm and there's a flow here. And the psalmist is saying, God is the one who guards you. God is the one who keeps you. God is the one who protects you. And I ask a couple verses to be put up this morning. And I just want to look. One way that you know you can kind of learn a word is to look at that word in different contexts. And Nehemiah 9:32. And Nehemiah is writing and he says, it doesn't matter. But he's talking about God, the great, the mighty, the terrible God, who keeps his covenant. And that's that word, shamar. It's the one who keeps it. God keeps his promises. He will do it. So that's one illustration of that word. And the next one. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. The Lord keeps the city. And some of your translations say he guards the city. That's Psalm 127. And then the next one, please. The Lord preserves them that love them. That word preserve. Some of the other translations say the Lord, he keeps those. He guards those. And so that's just a few instances of that word. Thank you. And so God is our keeper. God is our guardian. God is the one who protects us. And again, we may not feel that. We may not always sense that. But the psalmist is wanting to reassure us. This one who rules and reigns. This one who he lifts up his eyes. Where does my help come from? He's reassuring us that he is our keeper and he's our guardian. And the first thing, how do we know? How does this psalm practically illustrate it? That God is our guard in all circumstances. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. They didn't have cars as they traveled up to Jerusalem. They did have donkeys, but most of the people would walk. And when you're walking, and if you go over to Israel, you see pictures of it. It's dirt, and there are pebbles on the road. And what can happen when we walk on pebbles? We can turn our ankle, can't we? That can take us out. You do one turn on your ankle, if you're walking or running, you're not going to go any farther. And he's with us in all. He's our guard all the time, even in the tiniest of details. And even when the psalmist is talking about, he will not let your foot slip. He is intimately involved. He watches over us. And even when it feels like we're going to stumble or we're going to fall, and sometimes we do stumble, literally, and sometimes we do stumble in life and we do fall, he's there to pick us up. And he's assuring us that he is our guard all of the time, even in the tiniest of details. He will not let your foot be moved. Isn't that beautiful? It's a little bit like, you know, God knowing the numbers of hair on our head. And when we're walking, when we're journeying through life, that he's got us. He has us in his hand. He's walking with us. And he will steady us when we feel weak. And he will not let your foot be moved. All the time, in the tiniest of details. And he does not slumber. And he does not sleep. I've talked to you about that before, but again, a couple verses. Is Psalm 44 available? Psalm 44. Again, the psalmist. Awake! Why do you sleep, Lord? Arise! Cast us not off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? There in that psalm, the psalmist. And again, I love the psalms because sometimes we feel like we can't be honest with the Lord. But that's the essence of prayer, is being honest and very real. And how many of us have ever felt alone? And Lord, you've fallen asleep. Where are you at? And this psalmist is crying out, Lord, why do you sleep? I feel forsaken. And the story in Mark and Matthew about the disciples in the boat, told you about that story before. They're in the boat and waves and wind come up, and Jesus is in the boat. He's asleep in the back of the boat, and the disciples are terrified, and they're, Jesus, don't you care if we drown? And even the disciples felt like, even though Jesus was with them, that he was abandoned. But the psalmist assures us that he does not slumber and he does not sleep. He doesn't even need to take a nap. He's watching over you. We may not sense it. We may not feel it. But the one who is our help, he's our guard. He's our keeper in all circumstances. He's intimately involved in your life. He will steady us when we feel unsteady. He'll steady our feet. He'll steady our hearts. He'll steady our minds. He does not slumber. And he does not sleep. Some of us just need to be reassured of that. Because we feel forsaken. And we feel alone. But he's with you. He's walking with you. He's your guard. He's your keeper. He's the one who watches over you. He's our guard all of the time. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. God is our guard in all circumstances. There were three most dangerous things as they traveled. You had bandits that would come and steal. And you also had the sun. And how many of you have been to Arizona, been to the desert? How many of you, yeah, it's different out there, isn't it? It's very, 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 very different. I had the chance in 2004 to go to Morocco and minister to an unreached people group in the North Atlas Mountains in Morocco. And I had never been, at that time, I had never been to the desert before. And while we were a little bit north of Sahara, it was still a little bit green where we were. I'm telling you, man, I was not prepared for the sun. And you had to have a head covering. because the sun would beat down on you like it was literally beating you down in the ground. And you could not go out in the heat of the day because it was way too hot. And that was a very real thing as they traveled. And the Lord, here in this word, it says, the Lord is your shade on your right hand as that sun beats you down. Do we have that Isaiah scripture available? Yeah, thank you. So I'm right there. Thank you. And Isaiah is talking about the sun. Neither shall the sun, heat nor sun, smite them or push down on them. Thank you very much. And so summer's my least favorite season. I don't like summer. And I know some of you love summer. I just don't like being hot. I just don't like being hot. And I just don't like it. I like winter, and I know that probably a minority, but I love winter. But some, I just don't like it. Just don't like being hot. But I know some of you do, and that's just, I'm thankful for the green and all of that. But the sun beating down. Southern Illinois, we have more humidity than anything else. But there are things in our life that we don't live in Arizona, we're not in Morocco, but there's things that beat down on us like the sun. That just feel like, I can't do this. It's too hard. Sometimes sickness weighs us down and is beating down on us like the sun. For some of us, it can be depression. It can be sickness. It can be pain. It can be financial burdens. It can be anything. But it just feels like it's beating you down and beating you down and beating you down as we journey in life. And the psalmist encourages us that the Lord is our keeper. He's our shade at our right hand. How many of you just need some shelter and shade from what's beating down on you right now? That's the Lord. The Lord is your shade. He is your keeper. And he will come and bring refreshing. He can come and breathe life on you. He can come and just bring encouragement upon you. And how do we do that? We just say, Jesus, I need you. Come. Jesus, help. Help, be my shade right now from that which is beating down on me like the noonday sun. He's your keeper. He's your guardian in all circumstances. And also, it says, he's your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. And that's weird for us because we're like, the moon, what's up with the moon? I get that it can be dangerous, but the moon by night, what does that practically mean? You go over to... We have that reference. I don't know if I gave that to you. Matthew 4:24. Thank you. And he's talking about he's healing all the people that were taken with diseases, torments. And that particular, those that were lunatics, that word is taken. That's what the Greek says, luna. It's luna. And the ancients believed that the moon could literally drive you crazy. Drive you mad. Modern day translations, that's the King James Version. Modern day translations will translate that, thank you, will translate that epileptics. But they literally, like when the moon came out, they're like, oh no! You know, it could literally drive you mad. And if any of you have ever worked in healthcare or anything, you know that can be kind of true. You know, there's something that happens with the moon, but not to the extent that the people in the ancient Near East believed that. But what are the things in your life that you just feel like are driving you nuts? Again, it can be anything. It can be work, it can be stress, but you just feel like, I can't take this anymore. So those things that beat down on us like the sun, those things that we just feel like we can't take it anymore, that are just going to drive us crazy. Jesus, the Lord, is our shade. He's our keeper. He's our helper. And all we have to do is cry out to him and say, Jesus, I need you. Come into this situation. I can't do this alone. I can't do this alone. God is our guard all the time. God is our guard in all circumstances. In the last two verses, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Is there anything really we need to know more than that the Lord will keep us from all evil? He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. That doesn't say that he's going to, Jesus himself said that in this world you will have trouble, but he also said, take heart because I've overcome the world. It's not saying that these things will not keep, that will not come into your life, but he's promising that he's going to guard us in the midst of it, that when we walk through those things, he's going to be with us. He's going to be with us. God is our guard everywhere. As we go in and out, as we transition from one phase of life into another, as we, I know like our graduates, you know, that is a very common, it's a very, as we transition from school into adulthood, that's a transition. And sometimes, I know in my early 20s, my mid-20s, I felt really lost. Lord, I don't know where I'm going. I hope you all don't feel that way, but that transition was hard. But we're going through transition all the time, aren't we? We go through different phases of life. We go sometimes through seasons of sickness. And the promise here is he's with us in all of those phases. He's our guard in every phase, in every transition that we go through. He's our guard everywhere, in all transitions. There is a beautiful shift. Those of you who are English majors or English buffs, there's a beautiful shift in this song. It's very subtle. Verse 1, he's talking in first person. He's talking I. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He's talking about himself. I, me. And then do you see the shift in verse 3? He shifts from first person, talking about I, to you. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and evermore. He's saying, this God who has been my help, this God who has helped me, he can do the same for you. When I was 21, I shouldn't have said that because now you're going to guess my age, but that's okay. When I was 21, back in 1991, I had the opportunity to go, and it was still the Soviet Union at that time. I was a student and at Eastern Illinois University. I was studying sociology and had the opportunity to go with students from all over the United States and go to Kiev State Pedagogical Institute to other students that were learning English. And so we couldn't go to be missionaries, but we went as students. And then the students there could come, and if they wanted to, we could do Bible studies with them. And so we got to live with them for 6 weeks. And we attended Russian language class, and then we helped them with their English. They were fluent. We were just helping them with slang. And we had an opportunity to live with them, serve them, and it was powerful. I'm not going to tell everything because it's a long story, but if you want to know more, I'd be happy to tell you. But on the way back, we were there for 6 weeks, and that was right before the Soviet Union fell. And so it was very poor. Food was very scarce. We could not get food. We had no hot water. And I lost about 15 pounds that summer, and I was skinnier than I am now. And so a lot of people on my team got sick. And so we were coming back. It was very weak. And we were coming back, and we were on this train. There were 36 people on my team, and so it was tight and packed. We had like 6 people in a compartment. And the people in my compartment decided that they wanted to play gin rummy. So they're playing cards, and it was loud, and I have a headache. And I'm just like, oh, stop. Just there's nowhere I can go. But as any of you that have had headaches or struggled with migraine headaches, you start getting something like that, and you're like, oh, no. And that train was hot. There was no air conditioning, so it was stuffy. And so I'm getting sicker, my head starts to pound, and I'm laying there, I'm like, I am in trouble. And then my stomach starts getting queasy, and I'm like, oh no. So I get up and I start, I can't even hardly walk. I'm walking down, I get to the bathroom and I am sick, sick, sick. I spent like 2 or 3 hours in the bathroom and I'm incredibly sick. I know I'm in trouble. I know that I'm about to crash. We talked about flying and traveling. I knew that I was done. I can't do this. And so I'm like, I've got to get out of here. So I got up and I started trying to walk back and I fainted. Somebody picked me up, put me on, you know, they're fanning me. I'm thinking I'm going to die. So I was like, oh. But I was scared. And I was alone in a country. And I felt like I was about to crash. And somebody did for me on that after they put me wet claws. And I'm thinking, oh God, I'm going to die. Help. 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 So all I had was help. I had a friend. Everybody left. She came and she did something for me that was one of the most beautiful things that anybody's ever done for me in my life. She just came, she put her hands on me, and she started to sing over me. Just sing. And as she began to sing, I just felt the peace of the Lord. And I just felt the nausea go. And I just felt such peace. I was alone in a country. Thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to crash. But Jesus came, and he encouraged, and he helped me, and he strengthened me in my journey. And the God who has done that for me is the same God that can do that for you. I do not know what you're going through this morning. I don't know where you feel alone. I don't know where you feel afraid. I don't know where it is that you feel like you're going to crash, and you feel like the sun's beating you down, and you're just like, I can't do this anymore. There are things in your life that are driving you crazy, and you're just like, I can't do this anymore. I'm here to tell you this morning that God is your guard. He is your keeper, and he is your guard all of the time, in all circumstances, and in everywhere. He is with you. He will not slumber, nor will he sleep. All we need to do is say, Jesus, help, and invite him in. The psalmist says, this God who's done this for me, he can do it for you. Will you let him? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are Yahweh Yishamah. You are the one who keeps us. You are the one who guards us. You are the God who is with us. Lord, all of us have stories that we can tell when we were alone and we felt like we were going to crash. And Lord, you came and you helped us. And Lord, the psalmist is doing this morning. So Lord, I thank you that your name, Holy Spirit, is Comforter. Your name is one who comes alongside. So Lord, we just invite you in to those situations where we feel like the sun is beating us down, where we feel like we're going crazy and we can't carry on anymore. We thank you that you're the God who keeps, you are the God who guards, and you are the God who does not slumber, and he does not sleep. Comfort your people this morning, Holy One. Comfort your people. And we praise you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was praying about what song to end this morning. I just thought of the old song, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. And we're going to sing that this morning, just as a reminder. Not only does he have the whole world in his hands, he's got you in his hands. He's watching over you. He keeps our feet. He's with us. So let's stand and sing this old song. Thank you. anything this morning, you can ask me downstairs. I'd be happy to pray with you. But pray with me the covenant prayer. Grant, O Lord, that what has been said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just be upon your people. I thank you that you are the God of all hope. Lord, I thank you that you're the one who watches us, who keeps us. And Lord, who not only sits on the throne, Lord, you've sent your Spirit to be Emmanuel, to be with us. So Lord, comfort your people and help us to go forth and be a comfort to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.